Una vez, we bought a ticket, and they bought a ticket, and came to the same compartment in a train. I was in once another one. We reached a place of Pearson. I knew now, and I had to make the decision now to shake them off, see? Otherwise, there will be some shooting or something. And so I went in a corridor, left the case up there, went in a washroom on a train, locked it up. They saw me, the train just started, lift the window, jump out of the train, went back. I was prepared, I knew the train. In 5 minutes later on, I had to hurry up, train was going south of Bohemia, see? Another train. That's why you lose the contact with them. So train wouldn't stop. They saw me up there, and one was waiting in a corridor till I come out, but train was in full swing already, see? Fast train. I went back, I was there and just got the train going south. Got a ticket going south. I came to a place, it was a Klatovy in southern Bohemia. Then I got the information that was e in the evening already, dark. I registered as a commercial traveler in a hotel, which was controlled by communists, everything. They checked it with the police, see, communist police. They checked it, all the hotels and everything. But I knew they checked them early in the morning, round before the 6 o'clock. I slept till 5 in the morning and left the hotel in back entrance. Nobody knew I left. I knew the police control would come, so I disappear and way on my way across the border. I met several tanks, patrols and everything around there. And to place, I went place where they said the mice couldn't get through. All the mines and everything, minefields and everything. So I went to a place called Železná Ruda. It's on a border with Black Forest to Western ba to Bavaria up there, and I found a place. I said, "Well, I can't go there. I can't go there." And there was a sort of rocks, steep rocks on the mountains up there. I knew ma I had no maps, nothing. I'd never been in an area before in my life, but remembering the border of my country, place Železná Ruda. I just in my mind how the border runs out there, see? So I said, well, the border is on top of the mountain up here. So I found it, there was still snow out there. That was in April.
This is 1949.
48.
Oh, this is 48 already.
48,
This is still
yeah.
48.
48, yeah. There was still snow everywhere, up to the knees in the snow. So I found the more sheer side of the mountains where hardly I had to make a step by step to get up in the snow, to that mountain. Took me a long time, I know that. I came on top of it. It was cutting, and I see the stone, CS, which means Czechoslovakia and Germany, see? And up there, how the markings go, cut in the woods. And down below, I see the patrol with the dogs up there, so about 400 feet down below, so I waved them up and off I went. I came out there, but the funny, I made a mistake out there. There was a sort of borders going that way, like that, and back, like that, and like a sausage, opposite. And I came from one, and I came back. Going up there, I said, I'm back in Czechoslovakia, for God's sake. Now I'll try to break my brain, and going through the border, in my mind, oh, I know where I am. So I went back and took the place south, so many kilometers in that way, and I was out. And I came, and I know there was a German border guard. I came first when I was in Germany. I refused to talk German. I knew a little bit of German. I refused to talk German. I talk English to them, my broken English.
Why did you refuse to speak German?
Because I hated them, see, in my mind, and everything after this was fresh after the war and the stuff. I didn't. There were sort of guys, other guys. I didn't have no hate against the young ones or anything like that, but my age and that, and I knew they were involved in a war and the rest of it. So I didn't like them. I said, well, that's it now. I said, well, call the Americans. I know it was the, I was in American occupation sphere of Germany, Western Germany. So they found the, they got me in the station up there, and they found the, it was place on a Danube in Bavaria, one of the places on that. Anyway, they phoned the Americans, and the three Americans came in a jeep, and put me in a jeep, and they took me to Wiesbaden, up there, to the headquarters up there, and they gave me a papers up there. I said, now you have to register with German officials, and up there, so I had to register up there. And I was sent to American hotel near Wiesbaden, one of the spas up there. There were Americans married with their families, officers and rest of it. And me poor guy up there, didn't have a finning on him, wet pants, nothing to change, no underwear, nothing, and they were bragging, you know, and throwing their money up there. I got so fed up, I said, that's it, I'm going out. So I left them. I didn't tell them nothing. I left and went to British Zone. And got to Köln on Rhine in British Zone of Occupation up there. Got in contact with British up there. They put me in Tokajczak Club up there. I was treated like a god.
Did you tell them that you had been one of Wolfram? That you had?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I told the British,
you told
the whole
story.
Yeah, I told them all the story and everything up there. But meanwhile, my wife was in England already. They contact my wife, see. I was okay. And he said, well, you have to go back to Frankfurt on British Embassy, and there's visas and ticket waiting for you, see? Well, of course, I had no money. I didn't tell them I had no money. I said, I traveled free. I didn't tell the German. I didn't ask the Germans. I just jumped the train and went. So I went from Cologne back to Frankfurt to Americans and of Germany, reported on the British Embassy in Frankfurt down there. Ambassador said, sorry, Mr. Machula. War office stopped, Home Office stopped all the visas. He said some false visas been in, going on, some racket with false visas. And the Home Office stopped all the visas to Britain. So I got stuck for 4 months in Germany. Eventually, I was so fed up, so I traveled, I went back to Köln on Rhine. He said, you got it here, you got a ticket up here, but you can go. Home Office stopped everything, for everybody. All the visa for everybody. So you can't do anything about it. So my wife tried to contact all the important people in Britain and everything, and so on. I couldn't do nothing about it, against the orders of Home Office. So I traveled, visiting my friends, you know. I stayed in Tokaj Club in Köln on Rhine, which was very good, there was Air Force, and I had everything. Everything was coming to me. I didn't need to worry about the money, and pilots took me to the nightclub and everything. And I remember I had one incident that day in one of the nightclubs in Köln on Rhine. One pilot took me up there, and I was supposed to have a tie up there. I didn't have a tie. So he tried to stop me, forcibly tried to stop me in a dorm and other, so he punched him in the face. He went in and it was nice, you know, nice feeling of that sort of friendship, comradeship and rest of it and so on. So I was very proud of it and so on. Anyway, I traveled to Dutch border. There was one Czech refugee camp to see my friends and so on. I was after, I didn't tell you, when I was still in Czechoslovakia, I was one day I was visiting Czech Tank Brigade from Britain in Americans and of Occupation out there, and they had some little problem with a local communist mayor in that little army. They were staying in a sort of castle, or one tank unit, and commander was a friend of my staff captain of that tank unit up there. And when I came to visit him, he said, I got a problem up here, some propaganda going on by one of the mayor and communist all around the district. Czech army from Britain robbed the castle of all the, you know, the gold and silver and furs and rest of it, and all that going on, that propaganda around. Actually, he said, that communist mayor robbed that. He is a criminal before the war, and so on. He robbed that, and he's spreading that propaganda. So, could you help me? So I said, okay. And because you're my friend, and because of that, I'll help you. So I went and we interrogated that guy up there. I got everything out of him. But I told him, I said, no harm will be done. You tell me where you got that stuff, what you stole, and the rest of it, no harm. But he was a liar. You never seen a liar in your life. So you had to use the force against him. So I bashed him against the wall a few times, and he told me afterwards, see, you could have told me and nothing would happen to you. Now you got it. Anyway, he got it, everything, all that stuff. He robbed one member of the tank unit who was a communist. He robbed the iron reserve of the tanks. They robbed and selling that on the black market. And that guy, that soldier from the tank unit, that communist, was a witness against me when the communist got in power in 1948. And I left the army by then, see. And I was holding the job in Northern Moravia in Czech nationalized textile firm as a transport officer for a firm. And the civilian court for Northern Moravia tried to try me for that heavily bodily harm of that ex-mayor, communist mayor out there, when the communists got in power. And I'm there. So my wife was scared, and showing letters were coming from a court all the time. You know, you had to go there, you had to go there. I was ignoring all that. I said, well, that time when I did it, the only law was a military unit. There was no police, nobody. Right after the war, see, when I went to visit my friends up there. There wasn't any police or any judges or anything, see, until it was established. But meanwhile, for that short time, was held by army only, see, occupying forces, law and everything. So that guy was sentenced to 6 months by military court for stealing all that stuff up there. And when the communists came in about 48, I was living in Northern Moravia up there as a transport officer working. And all those letters were coming up. So I said, okay, I'll go up there. I promised my wife. I went to the judge. I said, now what you got against me? And he showed me the letter up there and so on. I tore it up in front of him. I said, you got nothing to do with me. The only if you anybody want to try me, you had to be the military court. So they transfer everything to military court from civilians. They knew they couldn't. I was, by law, I was right. Transferred to military court. And I was tried by military court in Northern Moravia. And the judge was a colonel from Czech Army in Russia. And all those lieutenants, those lawyers and everything, they were all communists, because all Minister of Justice was a communist then. See? But they didn't know about that. They said, well, he's a colonel from Czech Army in Russia. But he wasn't communist, you know. So what he did when I was ready, I had all the medals, 3 war crosses, 3 medals for bravery and everything. I had ready for them to throw them on the table if they sentenced me, you know, that time. Because I was that kind of person. So, as I said, I was myself all the time. I throw them up there and that's it. They sentenced me out there. So anyway, that judge, I don't know where he got the information here. He was reading the all life of that communist mayor. There was continuously, he was in a jail, breaking the law for stealing and entering and rest of it. I think he had about 20 years in a jail already. And releasing and doing things again and things all the time before the war. Then after the war, he was a mayor of, and stealing that things again, you know, and so on. Then he read all my life, right from a young boy, from a school and everything, until my military service, you know, and during the war and everything. He had all that information, colonel, that judge. It was Colonel Strucker, I still remember. He read it and he said, well, gentlemen, who do you want to charge, him or him? And they were stung. They just looked, they had no answer. So he said, court discharge. You free men. So I went back home. But I had also already, I had already, there was another, he was a chief of police of Moravia. He was my ex-partisan, too. They didn't know that, see? And he had a warrant on me, too. After the court, you know, he had a warrant on me to make me a prisoner. He said, I can't hold it longer than 2 weeks. Can you make it? So I had 2 weeks to get out of the country. I had to get my wife.
Even though you'd been dismissed from by the court.
Oh, yeah.
Wanted to
Oh, yeah. They issued a warrant again for my arrest without any court or anything, see? Yeah?
So at that point you decided to get out.
Oh, yeah, I had to go get out. It's no good. But I was, I did want my family safely out first, see, so they couldn't hold any hostages. Then I would have I had to capitulate, see.
When you got back to England, Well,
I go to that Germany, you know, 4 months studying and traveling across and back, visiting different camps. And one of those camps I came to, that was a Dutch border, that was place near Cleve, south of Cleve. Who did I see that colonel up there?
The judge. The judge?
Yeah. Old man, you know. He had to abandon all his rest of his life up there, everything, because they would have sentenced him. But the poor guy, when he saw me, he ran in her arms and, you know, crying and everything. As brave as he was before. I never had any news. I had a lot of friends and from traveling on a train from Bavaria to Dutch border, all that, and visiting all the friends, new friends.
Was this a Czech refugee camp?
Czech refugee camps, yeah. That was that 48, you know.
And then did you leave from there to
England? Then I had a message. Suddenly I had a message from my wife phoned me up to Frankfurt, visiting south of Frankfurt, one of the Czech refugee camps. Camp up there. I don't know how she found me up there. She tried all of them. So yeah, I gave her a few hinges, you know, where to find me. But luckily she found me when I was visiting that refugee camp up there. So he said, you go on back to Czech embassy in Frankfurt. Tickets waiting, you can go. And that's what happened. I went back up there, got my ticket on a plane and flew to England.
Where did you fly to London?
Yeah. Yeah, civilian plane, yeah.
When you got back to England, were you interrogated at all by the British authorities?
No, nothing.
Did you contact any of the people who had been in the intelligence service?
No, nobody. Nobody bothered me. I wanted my life free and without any worries.
So no one from the British service ever really asked you about your Wolfram?
No.
Ever?
No. Well, I was in Britain before, see. I was in Britain before. Right after the war, on a holiday.
Oh, you didn't tell me that.
I didn't tell you that, no.
No. Tell me about it.
No, that was when I was on the Ministry of Defense then, see. Things got a little bit easier up there. And I was that was a Colonel Palacek who was he was my boss. He was on the Ministry of Defense. And he was headman of Czech mission, British intelligence Czech section. In London.
What was his name? Palacek?
Palacek. Colonel Palacek. At that time. He was General Palacek by then, see? And everything. He was headman up there. That was my boss. And to him, I had to ask for my holiday pass and rest of it when I wanted to go, you know, from Ministry of Defense. And that was after the war. Because I didn't see my daughter was born. I haven't seen her yet. I haven't seen my wife. End of the war and so on. She only knew I sent my radio message from Ministry of Defense to London to check in British intelligence Czech section to my friends to send a telegram to my wife, well and life. So of course, my wife thought I was in London. She had a telegram from London. See, they sent her a telegram from London. But I sent in a radio message, say, to London, from Prague, from Ministry of Defense.
So you went to England then?
Yeah. No, I didn't go that time. My wife boarded a train. She went to British intelligent Czech section in London straight away. She said I was there, see. Of course, they told her I wasn't there. I'm in Prague, see, still. So, anyway, I planned my holiday up there. So I came to General Palachek up there, and that's it. I want 1 month's holiday to Britain. He said, you can get it. He said, it's too long anyway. He said, I need you. He said, you can get it. You're in a Russian occupational sphere, and I'm not allowed to give you a holiday to Britain. Only in Russian soil. I said, okay, fine, you can give it to me. Give me a holiday to my parents. He said, how long? I said, months. No, I can give you 2 weeks only, he said to me. I said, okay, give me 2 weeks to my parents. So he knew me, you know, he knew my...
Oh, you have told me this story, and you go somewhere and you get a lift from an American soldier, airman, and then you went to England.
Yeah, I told you that. Oh, yeah.
But I can't remember whether I asked you, when you went to England on that occasion, did you get in touch with the,
I had to get in contact with them because they gave me a holiday maker through the RIF when I was overnight in Antwerp, see, when that British plane took me to Gatwick up there. I had to contact them. They issued me with a holiday for a month. I asked for a month. They gave me a holiday for a month and so on, see.
And did they ask you then about Wolfram? I mean, did they want to know?
Oh, they had already news about the Wolfram.
How did they have news about Wolfram?
They had it already. It was all cleared after the war because our intelligence section, we were in contact after the war with London. See?
So you had given a report?
No, they had a report and they already... We had to, all the people that were killed by us had to be proved. We had the rights to do so by British government and the Czech government also, see?
All the people who had
been killed by us, civilians, see? Not military Germans or anything, that was nothing, but the civilians. We had to prove they were working for the Germans and betrayed and the rest of it. We had to have a witnesses too for that. That was all proved.
I see.
Yeah. Mm. So I came to England and I was good myself. They got me a job as a wages clerk for Thames Conservancy, Oxford Division.
You lived in Oxford?
I lived in Oxford for about things. My family was growing. I got my council house in Oxford straight away. I got a British citizenship right away. I didn't need to wait 5 years, see. They gave me a British citizenship
because
right away.
Service,
yeah,
war.
Yeah. And there was a few things. British intelligence came to my house and said, don't need to be afraid, Mr. Machar, are you okay now? You're safe now. There came certain people from Czechoslovakia, from Czech embassy, tried to make me, I don't know what they tried.
Did they want you to try?
They told me only, I don't need to be afraid, you're all right now. I said, I'm not afraid. And he said, do you know so-and-so person, so-and-so? I said, you know, you got everything, prescription, everything, on the war office from him before we were dropped. There was one of the guy that saddest. He became a communist of our group. One of them betrayed and joined the Communist Party. And he was in charge of the Czech intelligent under communist government. He reached the rank of lieutenant colonel. He was in my sub-officer schools before in France. Yeah. He was very aggressive, little person, aggressive. And he even tried to kill our commander during the war to get a hold of the in charge of the group. That was the guy who volunteered to kill that woman too. Yeah.
So you think that after the war he was what he arrived?
No, what they did when he was caught in Britain, they put him in a jail for a year, then they deported him back to Czechoslovakia, then the communists threw him out from his services, and he was ordinary citizen, everything. He was punished a long time. His wife died. Then he had an adopted daughter up there and so on. He was a completely lost person. He tried to change. I had even letters from him. But he didn't know what I knew, see, about him, what he was trying to do. I knew all that.
Can we take a rest there?
Pardon?
Can we take a rest?
Yeah, sure, we can take a rest.